This is a podcast from ABC Radio Overnights. I'm Rod Quinn. You might have heard a few months ago that there is a global shortage of computer chips, specifically semiconductors. It's causing longer wait times for new cars and for consumer electronics like TVs. In March this year, the wait time to buy a new car in Australia was longer than 6 months for some models. So what happened, and can we blame COVID? Jim Rabaut is professor at the Sydney University School of Physics and deputy director of the Sydney Nano Institute. Welcome to Overnights, Jim.
Hi, Rod. Thank you very much.
First of all, what is a semiconductor?
A semiconductor is a material that partially conduct electricity, and you can control that depending on how you structure the components.
Does everything these days have a semiconductor in it?
Many things do. I mean, the obvious ones, I'm sitting at home right now. I've got three kids homeschooling. We've all got a computer. We've all got a phone. So they all definitely have semiconductor chips in them, but also household items, fridges, dishwashers, cars, like you mentioned.
So anything with electronics in it really has got a semiconductor.
It's not 100% like that. I mean, even having said that, even certain light bulbs now are the LED light bulbs. They're basically semiconductor. But it's getting to that point where almost everything is connected in some way, wirelessly, for example. And to do that sort of technology, you need chips, semiconductor chips.
So who makes them?
Well, there's a lot of companies spread around the world. I can say that Australia does not make semiconductor chips. The vast majority of them come from Taiwan. So Taiwan is the dominant fabricator, manufacturer of semiconductor chips. The US, Singapore, they're probably the top three producers.
How much do they cost? You don't buy them individually, I'm guessing. You buy them by the thousand, I'm sure, and put them in your products, but are they expensive?
Well, that's a really good question. And so for the sort of work that I do, which is research at the research end of the spectrum rather than the production and consumer good end of the spectrum, we might produce tens or 100 chips to do some experiments, and they'd be fairly expensive individually, hundreds, thousands of dollars. But the chips that go into a phone, Rod, are mass produced. So the company like Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company in Taiwan, they would produce millions and millions of the same types of chip over and over, and it's that scale and the ability of them for them to produce high volumes that brings the price right down and makes it viable for phone companies and so on, computers. Yeah.
Why don't we make them in Australia?
Well, I think to do something like, I mean, Taiwan, well, you just keep using Taiwan as an example, and they're quite a good example because 30, 40 years ago, there was no semiconductor in Taiwan. There's no manufacturing capability. But they identified an opportunity and made strategic decisions to invest domestically in building up a semiconductor manufacturing capability. And they continued to commit to that and turned it into now what it is today, is the biggest supplier globally. So Australia simply hasn't done that to this point. And I think, the question might be, well, okay, can we start to manufacture them on a large scale? Well, we could do, but maybe there's smarter things that we could do, smarter, more strategic things that we can do domestically to build a high-tech, innovative industry like semiconductor.
But I suppose the problem then occurs, that is, that when there is a shortage, and we'll find out why in a moment, if your eggs are all in one basket, the Taiwanese basket, then that causes the problem, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's like any supply chain. Your risk is heightened if you have all your eggs in one basket, so to speak. And if that basket all of a sudden disappears or cannot supply, then your whole business model is at risk. So I think that's something that that we've recognized, that the globe has recognized over the last 18 months or so, probably a known quantity in the industry, but something that was really highlighted with COVID, is that the supply chain is pretty dependent on only a handful of suppliers. So there's a lot of thinking about how do we change that? How do we mitigate that risk?
So, what is causing the shortage at the moment? Before we find out how we can fix that, what is causing the shortage?
Well, it's definitely COVID related. And there's multiple interpretations of what's been happening and what's going to happen. And the automotive industry is the first industry really experiencing that shortage. But definitely, it's a shortage that's being experienced by the industry as a whole. Basically, dialing back the clock to sort of early in COVID in 2020, there was an anticipation, and I suppose real numbers showing that car sales were decreasing. So automotive manufacturers said, okay, well, look, we're not going to be selling all these cars anymore, so I'm not going to order all these parts. I'm going to cancel all those orders for parts that go into the car. All these different companies that produce the parts, they have semiconductor components in them. So the parts manufacturers then said, well, hang on, we're not going to miss out here. I mean, if the car companies aren't ordering parts from us, I'm canceling my semiconductor chip orders. So they did that. And semiconductor chip manufacturers have never turned off their plants. You hear executives saying this, that they've never slowed down. They had plenty of work on. So all they did was shift their production to other things like phones and electronics, where all of a sudden sales were increasing. And the last bit is that when the automotive industry realized actually that car sales aren't slowing as much as we thought, they tried to turn the tap back on for their parts and so on up the supply chain. And the semiconductor company said, well, we can't just flip and turn back and start giving you the things that you canceled orders for. You got to wait. And that's what we're seeing here. That's the shortage. And it's having a knock-on effect.
Jim Rabeau is our guest this morning, talking about the shortage of computer chips, or semiconductors, as they're also called. So why can't they just increase the production?
Well, I think it's because the plants are already running at capacity, so there is no spare capacity. There's another nugget of here, Rod. I might as well share it. The analogy is the toilet paper
Right, yeah.
fiasco, and it's something similar happened. So to answer your question, the capacity, there is no excess capacity. It's and to build a new plant, it costs billions of dollars, takes many years to get it up and running. So it's not like you can just flip a switch and have a whole new production line pumping out chips. It doesn't work that way. But one of the reasons why it's probably a lot worse, this shortage is a lot, at least a lot worse than it actually should be, is because the response from manufacturers when they saw that there was a shortage, or the parts manufacturers decided, well, we need to get this supply to the automakers, and the semiconductor company said, we don't have that supply. Then they started looking around and saying, oh my gosh, where can we get our chips? And the behavior, I mean, sort of panic behavior, hoarding of chips and that kind of thing started to take over because no one wanted to miss out serving their own customers. I don't know whether that's still happening, but certainly we're in a recovery period of recovering from that kind of reaction.
Which cars were particularly affected, worst affected in this shortage? Was it every car, or were there only some brands?
Well, I can tell you, my car wouldn't, if it was in there, it wouldn't have been affected because it's a fairly old
Okay.
Rodeo with no chips.
Right.
The cars most affected would be the high-end cars that have a lot more features and electronics. And one of the ways to manage this, that I read that the automotive manufacturers just said, okay, well, we can still sell you the car, but it's not going to have this sophisticated seat warmer, and there's all sorts of electronics. That's a
Right.
simple example.
Are there in fact cars that don't need them, that don't need electric seat warmers, or other things that that
Well,
these provide?
that was probably a bad example because there's the where they're really used are in safety features in the
Right, okay.
car. You're aware of the autonomous vehicles, self-driving cars, and the amount of information they're processing in short periods of time, and sensors in the engine to say, well, the fuel to air intake ratio needs to be optimized, and it's done all automatically, that sort of thing.
Okay. What about other things besides cars? Have there been shortages in, I don't know, dishwashers or computers and all those sorts of things that are also used there?
I can only go by what I've seen in the media. Electronic goods, computers, phones, they are feeling it. They're feeling a pinch. I know that I have colleagues who work in the industry, even sort of peripherally, where they need to order chips online to do certain things. And, you know, the supply is just not what it used to be in terms of availability. So it's being seen kind of everywhere, right, across the board now.
So when will it be over? What is this? Is it just when COVID goes away, ordinary supply and demand goes back to normal? Or will it be only over when there's an increase in the production of those chips?
It's a good question. I think the overlaying complexity, which is a good thing, but it's a complexity, is that not only are we feeling this pinch right now, in addition, the need and demand for semiconductor chips is just going up and up and up. So building new capacity, it's anyone's guess whether, you know, building capacity in response to what's happening now, who knows whether that extra capacity is still going to be needed in 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. I don't know. But we do know that the technology is just eating up semiconductor. We need more and more complicated, sophisticated chips to run our lives.
So how long will the shortage last then?
I can only speculate. I've heard things like, for example, that the automotive industry is already kind of past the peak and right, and in recovery mode. It depends on how the supply chains works, but I would say, all going well, by the middle of next year, we should be in an area that's a bit more normal looking.
Did you think that at the middle of last year, that we'd be fixed by the middle of this year?
Well, actually, no. Well, I certainly didn't think I'd be in lockdown right now in Sydney as I am. So, like I said, it's speculation. It's anyone's guess. It's a real challenge, societal challenge, and a big issue for industry. But I can't help but also feel like it's pretty amazing to have semiconductors in people's mind, front of mind, and recognizing how important and relevant and absolutely amazing technologically that they are. We're going to hopefully get a better handle on how the supply chain works. Maybe Australia can seize an opportunity to do something here more strategic.
You would hope so. We are going to learn a lot of lessons out of COVID, and that just may be one of them.
Yes.
Jim, thank you very much for your time this morning.
Thanks a lot, Rod. Nice to talk to you.
Overnights with Rod Quinn on ABC Radio.